Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
As we race towards the expansive city of Kalimport, and Flint and Thea, an explosion sounds off beside them and they are thrown into the wall of a nearby building. Rushing all around them are the people of Kalimport, being chased by an undead army.
What the fuck is going on here?
A figure exits a door behind you.
You should quickly follow me. Thea, come with me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, coming. Right. Thank you. Who are you?
Welcome. I am Yenbul. I believe my friend Leosin said to look for me.
We're hunting down that amulet of wonder. Any leads?
It's not the best news I could give you because it is with Shangalar.
Oh, that is real crappy.
The Lich, whose undead army has overtaken the city and...
Well, this means two birds, one stone.
Well, that's
true.
We
help your city and we get the amulet back.
I have a friend or a man I know, Manix Fallenleaf. He knows where there is a portal leading to this flying fortress.
I can get you to the next city. We must move quickly, though.
And you exit further from where a massive wall has been erected. And you see just swarms of undead crashing into and climbing up over. Manix leads you through the streets of this town that he referred to as Keltar. And inside, there are runes on the wall. The runes begin to glow as he runs his hand along them. He says, "When you are ready, we shall step through." You look up, and beyond the clouds, as they begin to part, you see a massive pyramid floating high in the sky above the mountains.
Is this like the one that you crashed?
Ours was more of a castle.
Much smaller.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. And with me today is Amy Moore.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here for you, listeners. Not for you, Russ. For you, listeners.
Yeah, no one's here.
And I play Thea Amastasio.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm here for all of you, but not Russ. And I play Flint Firebeard.
And Carla Maxted.
I am also here for everyone in the whole world, except... No, just for everybody, even Russ.
Thank you.
And I play Yenbul Nuri.
Yes, Yenbul. Welcome, Yenbul. New character. Very exciting.
Thank you. First time getting to introduce her in the intro.
Right?
So that's exciting.
It's very good.
You guys didn't even know her last name.
No
you
idea.
Yep. Thea doesn't ask about last names.
Why would you?
What are you going to ID? Yeah. It's
yeah.
Fine.
Where we are concerned about last names is over on Patreon. That's weird.
That is weird.
Patreon.
And also your social insurance number, please.
And also your yeah.
Credit card number and the little one the on little the back,
DVC
the little three digit
on the back.
Expiry date, too.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We don't ask for any of that stuff, but what we do ask for is that you come join us because we've got a ton of great stuff, including a great community that gathers on Discord and we talk and they play games together and it's awesome. And we've got bonus content, more of what you love with great shows, some run by Tom.
What?
Some bonus episodes run by Amy and Carla.
Yarp.
So many things happen over there.
Narp?
Sorry, I'm not sure where yarp came from.
I mean, I think Shaun of the
Deep
Dead.
From Within Me is where it came from.
Hot Fuzz. Yeah. Of course. Oh. Hot Fuzz, yes.
I saw that once.
Oh my God, you should watch it again. It's amazing.
Did that stick with
so
me?
Good. They're all so good.
Must have. But what you also get over there is you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron.
Edgar Wright? What?
Whoa. Such a big fan. Thank you for listening.
Jessica Babiak.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Such a big fan. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for being here. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Patreon.com.
Nailed it.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Go check
it
out.
Usually one that Russ slips over.
No.
It's going to be a good episode, everybody. Fuck it. Let's play D&D. We see, or hear rather, a figure quickly scurrying down a stone hallway. We see the point of view from this creature, and we know it's a creature because it's very low to the ground. We hear heavy footsteps stomping behind further down the hall. The point of view looks behind and doesn't see anything, and quickly flies up into this dimly torch-lit hallway. Stone all around, cobwebs all around. And we see a small alcove off to the side. This creature zips into this alcove, and it goes deep into the wall. It's heavy breathing that kind of echoes, soft and light, but it echoes loud in the ears of this creature. And those footsteps that we heard previously walk past this spot, loud, and there's grumbling. And we pan out and we see Donnie curled up inside of this labyrinth, this tunnel, this maze that he is in. And we flash back to Flint, Thea, Yenbul, and Mannix at the base of the mountain, overlooking the fortress before them.
Thea immediately sinks to the ground and like starts touching all the foliage and stuff and just kind of really getting her nature on. She didn't quite realize how much she missed the green, even just being for a short time in Kalimport. But she did. Big time.
It's a real deserty country, too. So this is the only place you're going to get that lushness. So. Yenbul is going to not like disappear into the forest or anything, but she's going to start looking for signs to see if those friends that she mentioned might be anywhere near her.
Okay. What kind of signs is she looking for?
You know, do this, don't do that.
Friends this way. Can't you read the sign, Amy?
Had you.
So because there's like various groups of these sort of wandering warrior groups, they leave signs in the trees for one another, like specific ways of breaking branches, like things that no one else would notice unless you knew to look for them, like the hobo signs of the woods.
Okay, cool.
So I'm looking for
looking for that. Okay, roll me a d20. Odds you find it, evens you don't.
Okay. It's a 19.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you find something. What do you find?
In a specific tree, a specific type of tree that is sort of rare, only found in the Marching Mountains, right near the crook of kind of where a branch meets the tree trunk, there is a little slice and some like a knife marks there, just indicating that they have been there.
Okay.
I can tell how old they are based on like how dried out and like healed they are.
Okay.
Basically. Russ hates everything.
No, that's great.
Right now.
They are a day old.
A day old. Okay. That is probably too far if, well, I guess I should ask my friends. What is our plan for attack? Are we going to, I have friends who are great fighters. I do not know if they would help us. They are at least one day away.
Well, not on any kind of specific timeline. It kind of sounds like Kalimport has fallen.
If we stop Shangalar, the undead army will disperse.
I want to find my friends, but I want to save Kalimport. It is the greatest, most ancient city in the world, and it cannot fall in such a disgusting way.
Our best chance of defeating him would probably be with the help of your friends.
Mannix, what do you know of Shangalar? Is he surrounded by many, many others, or by himself?
Mannix looks up at the floating fortress in the sky and says, there are many levels to this fortress, and Shangalar does not travel alone. I fear we will need to fight through many in order to get to him.
So all the friends we can get are a good thing.
Be it a day away or not, I think we stand the best chance.
Well then, let us go this way.
I pick up the daisy chain that I had been making. And I set it on Flynn's head, and I follow Yenbul.
The group gathers their things and begins heading off following the tracks that Yenbul has found.
How much do you know about the history of Kalimshan?
Oh my goodness. I think we only just really figured out that Kalimshan was over here in a place that we needed to go 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, Leosin told us a little bit about some genies that battled.
Yes, many, long ago, many battles with genies. More recently, there was a glorious revolution, and there were many slaves who escaped and overthrew their oppressors, and my friends, the Janissar, many of them are the children of those escaped slaves, and they now live in isolation and fight and train in case another need arises. And on one of my adventures, I came to this place and spent time with them.
And you think they might be willing to help us?
They do not stand for evil. So I think they will want to help.
All right.
They can be elusive, though. Many, many people here never have even seen a Janissar.
Count me in with those people.
You travel through the Forest of Myrrh. M-I-R. Following Yenbul, who is following more of these signs. Yenbul, make a survival check.
Okie dokie. Well, that was a one.
Ooh.
Plus?
Three.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm distracted by my new friends.
You travel for, going off your confidence of the marks, I assume that you would have followed them for a good while. You travel for about 4 or 5 hours into the forest. When you, the path you were following, you lose. It's not that it disappears, but you lose your tracking of it.
Yemble, why have we stopped?
The marks in the trees, they are gone. They are not, I cannot find any more. I'm not sure which way they have gone.
Oh. Should we go back the way we came?
I am going to cast Locate Creature.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Okay, what are you trying to locate?
I am trying to locate this group of people whose name I already forgot from my own thing that I made happen. Janissar.
There we go. Janissar.
The spell can locate a specific creature known to you or the nearest creature of a specific kind, so long as you have seen such a creature up close.
Okay, so what type of creature is this?
I guess it depends how generous you want to be. It does say human. I mean, I can find a human.
Okay.
But if I can also, maybe they are like, give off some specific vibes.
Yeah, one of them doesn't shower very often.
Doesn't shower.
Okay, well, as long as you can find, rather than just like a monster creature.
Yeah, no, sorry. Okay. A creature of a specific kind, such as a human or a unicorn.
Okay.
So long as I have
such
seen
as
it up
a
close.
Human or a unicorn.
You know,
I mean, either or.
The
or
two
both.
Standard
humicorn.
Types of creatures.
Sure. That you want to track down.
Uh-huh. Those would be the only kinds unicorn. Of creatures I yeah. would want to track down.
Cool. Okay. So what do you gotta do for that?
So I pull out a little bit of fur from a bloodhound and close my eyes and just think real hard.
No roll?
Nope.
Just
I don't
does
think
it?
So.
She just thinks real
one
hard.
Action.
All
Moments,
right.
concentration. No. I think it just happens. You'll sense the direction of the creature's location. If the creature is moving, you know the direction of its movement. Can't locate a creature if running water at least 10 feet wide blocks a path between us.
You didn't have to give him all the information. He'll be like, nope, they went over a river.
Oh. I mean, it's a very
big
river.
They're on a fjord.
Yeah, there's no river on this side that you're on here. That's fine. You definitely get a sense. Your bloodhound dog hairs tingle. And you tell me what you do now that you sense a direction or location of this person.
Come this way. I have found them. Or at least an indication of which direction they are heading in. Let's go this way quickly.
Okay. Handy trick.
With this new ability, I'm going to say that you track within... You feel like you're getting very close. So it's been the better part of a day. Whether you stopped for...
Do I start seeing... like sign of them again?
Yes. You definitely once you cast the locate creature, you got back on path. You see the markings start to appear back up, and the further you go, the fresher they get. So you feel like you're within about an hour or less of catching up to them.
The Janissar are, as I said, very secretive, so we are getting close. When we get very close, we should perhaps I should just approach to explain who we are, and I think they are great warriors. As I said, they will probably know we are coming, or they will know when we are near them.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here before, you've met them before, you take lead on this.
As you've been traveling for a day, Yimbul and...
How are Mannix's little legs doing? Does he need Mannix me to carry him
Mannix
on my
is fine.
Shoulders?
Mannix still kind of seems like he's gliding.
Right. He's got Heelys on.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they light up Heelys?
Maybe. They're below a rope, you can't quite tell. There is an odd, like... underlit carriage thing happening.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe.
So he's got an odd undercarriage, making a note.
Tia and Flint make a constitution saving throw. This is like new heat traveling in.
This.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, you're so robust.
A 6. Wait, constitution saving throw plus 4. 10.
Okay.
I'm hot and sweaty.
You are hot and sweaty and you suffer. A level of exhaustion. The three of you, Mannix and everybody, and Flint and Thea. Thea, you RP the way you got RP with now that you're getting levels of exhaustion and stuff.
Okay.
Yimbul, you're going off to track down your friends completely?
I guess, yeah, once we're pretty close. I think that would make sense. They are...
You get to a point where you think that it's time to separate. And based off of your tracking, how many people do you expect to find here?
I'm not sure that I know, because any group, even if it was just like two of them, they would have been making those markings, because that is how they kind of find each other.
Okay, you head off. The three of you stay behind as you see Yimbul disappear through the trees. What do you three do to pass the time until she comes back?
I sit down and I lean against a tree and I grab some fronds from a nearby bushy thingy and I start to fan myself. Is anybody else hot? It's so hot.
I head over and use the fan that Thea gifted me and add to the fanning. I mean,
you're
it's really
so
hot
sweet.
Here.
It's so hot. Well, how are you not hot?
No, I'm hot. But for some reason, this armor seems like weirdly cool.
You're wearing like 4 times more clothing than I am.
Maybe it's the headband. I don't know what's going on, but
maybe.
Yimbul, you're tracking your friends. Are you moving stealthily? Are you moving with intent to allow them, you know, if they were to hear you, to know that you're coming? How are you traveling?
Are you singing some sort of ditty? What's happening?
Not singing a ditty. I don't think I'm being like trying to be stealthy or anything. I think they are. I don't think they're like afraid of people generally. They just choose to remain isolated unless they are coming to fight for the good guys. So I am assuming that once I go see them, I can like talk to them. And even though I probably won't know the two that I am going to see or the however many that I'm going to see, I can explain that I spend time with them and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, perfect. You head off and into the trees. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, get to a point where you no longer see any of the markings. Not that you've lost them, but that they're just not there anymore.
Hello? I feel like you might be nearby. My name is Yenbul. I spent time with some of you 2 or 3 years ago.
You hear from behind you a branch crack. You turn and you see a female Janissar warrior bearing the symbol of Tyr on an amulet around her neck. She has a bow loaded and aimed towards you and says, "Why are you following us?"
I come seeking assistance from you. I spent time with Jasim and some of the others several years ago, and I know you are very mighty warriors, and you will perhaps help my friends and I.
A male voice comes out from behind you and says, "What is it you require?"
Shangalar has sent an undead army that has taken over Kalimport, and the city is falling, and it is... We need help to defeat him.
You wish to defeat Shangalar? You have an army yourself?
Well, no, I have just myself and 3 others.
You wish to take on a lich that can control an undead army and take down the largest, oldest city in the world with you and 3 others.
Well, I did not say it would work, but we will try. Also, 2 of them are mighty warriors that have saved Faerun time and again, and now they are here, and they will help us.
Make a persuasion check.
Did she like accidentally drop our business card?
13.
You see the two, you kind of step back and you can see the two now. They've moved in front of you. And they're looking to each other. That is a tall order to ask, the man says.
Yes, you are right.
The woman steps forward and says, "We wish we had more to give you, but going up against Shangalar with 6 people would be suicide."
Perhaps you could speak to more Janissar and bring them. We will start, and you will come help us.
The nearest settlement is a day away. You are going at this with or without us, yes?
Yes, I must defend my city.
It's very noble. Stupid, but noble. We will hurry and hope that you make it until we get back.
Thank you. If you see Jasim, tell him Yenbul is fighting.
Okay.
Totally. You bet.
Will do.
Got
Roger
it.
That.
Yenbul is fighting. Let me write that one down. I don't know if I'm going to remember. Of course, yes, we will tell Jasim that you are fighting the good fight. Before they turn, the woman speaks up and says, I am Zana, and this is Masood. We will do what we can to bring you aid. If the Janissar Council declines, you will not see us.
I understand. Zana, Masood, thank you.
They bow their heads and they begin walking off in the direction where you were tracking them.
Well, I want to zip back to my friends pretty quick.
Where do we come in with Flint, Thea, and Mannix?
My arms are real tired from fanning.
I've lost the gosmer cape. I have like stripped down to like covering important bits, but I'm like gross sweaty.
It's only been about an hour.
Oh, God, it feels like forever. How long have we been in this jungle?
When Yenbul runs back up.
Well, how'd it go?
Well, I found two. They will go to their gathering and ask more to come help, but they could not come now. So perhaps soon we will have reinforcements, but for now, it might just be us.
Did you say really convincing things like, when he's done with Kalimport, he's probably coming here next, you know, stuff like that. A real light of fire. I think this guy's not going to stop at, like, you know, just one city.
You are probably right. He will overtake all of Kalimshan. You seem...
And did you tell them that? Do they seem like they really want to help?
Well, I don't... I am not so good with words as you, Thea.
Oh, okay. Now, do we think that maybe it might be colder up on the giant floating pyramid?
Oh, you are finding it too hot.
It is very hot.
Yeah, I've been fanning her like nonstop here.
Your muscles look super great, though, Flint.
Flint, make a constitution saving throw.
Because of the muscles?
18 before bonus.
I was hoping that you'd get exhaustion just based on
just
fanning.
From fanning.
So 22 after the bonus. Yeah.
I am so sorry we traveled all this way and perhaps not even found help. But I have a solution for how we can get back to the base of the mountains near the pyramid without you getting more tired.
Lay it on me, sister. What do you got?
So I take off my backpack and there's like what looks like a bedroll rolled up on it. And I unroll it. And just
go to sleep.
Okay, you guys are going to carry
me? And it is a beautiful, like intricately woven carpet. And when...
Oh my God, you have a magic carpet.
A whole new... No, can't sing anymore. Can't sing anymore
of it. Can't sing anymore of it. So I roll it out, and it's quite big. It ends up being, you know, like 4 by 6 feet. And I say, Yatir. And it floats up into the air.
That is a hell of a trick.
This is so cool.
This way you can save energy before we have to fight. And
great idea, Yenbo. Thank you.
This is a...
Dia gets on and just lays down.
This is a rude question, but how much do you weigh? Y'all are fine. It's going to be fine.
Carry the 4. Like 100.
Carry the 4.
Like 111 pounds with all my stuff.
Just tiny.
So tiny. So I'm wayfish.
Wayfish, yes.
That's why I get fucking beat up all the goddamn time.
This will be no problem. And I get up on there with you, and then it like lowers a little bit so that Mannix can get up and Flint can get up on there too. But we can all ride on the magic carpet.
I'm so excited.
Amazing.
Mannix looks to you and says, did you steal one of these?
No, I would.
Or are you paying out the ass for
it? I did not. It is not a rental. I did not rent it. On one of my journeys, I met a man in the desert, and we had a, how do you say, a bit?
Oh, you were gambling. A little bit of gambling.
Yes, and I won it.
Wow.
I mean, that's awesome.
Is it a dice game by any chance?
It was not. It is a complicated game with many moving pieces, and there is dice and then words, and you have to solve a puzzle. To be honest, I didn't even really know how to play.
Well, there's nothing at all sinister about winning a magical item from someone you don't know in a way that you don't really feel like you earned. Shall we?
Do you fly through the trees or do you fly above the trees?
It doesn't say how high it can fly. I guess it depends.
It's a magic carpet. It can fly.
Okay. Then I guess...
Wherever you want it to
I
go,
guess
Carla.
Above the trees, but maybe in like the top of the canopy so that we're not getting like thwacked by leaves, but we're not just like, Shagala, what's up?
Sure.
Coming for you.
So now we should be probably twice as fast. Probably should have pulled this out earlier because now we go 60 feet instead of 30 as our movement.
Yeah, Whee! That's fine. So you make it back in half the time. No incident. I mean, you see various different animals, but nothing that really makes a move to try and track you down as prey.
What kind of animals?
There's some monkeys, some jaguar-esque creatures, smaller creatures that you see kind of scurrying around, can't really get a good eye on because you're now flying up, and you make it back to the location of which you started.
To like the base of the mountain?
Base of the mountain, you see the fortress up floating amidst the cloud.
Well, now we at least know how we're going to get to the fortress.
Mannix
says... I don't think that guacamole could have carried us all up there at the same time.
You magic carpet up.
When Russ closes a door, Amy opens a carpet?
I believe that's the saying.
Carla opened the carpet.
I don't Amy would know have opened if I like the owl. That saying.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
So, okay.
Fair.
So you're flying up with the intent.
You were just in Mexico, Carla.
You're flying up with the intent to begin battle. One of you has a level of exhaustion. And we're back in the middle again. Dun, 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 dun.
See how I've let Russ take this back again because he so desperately needed something like this in his life?
I just... Thanks, everybody.
He really seemed like he was thrown off last time.
I mean, I didn't say a single thing till the end, so really, yeah, I was thrown off. Sorry. Now is a crazy time and place. That said, where you might find yourself with a little bit of extra time, some people have said. We have another show if you haven't gone and listened to it yet. We thoroughly enjoy it.
everybody who has talked to us that has listened to it has thoroughly enjoyed it. And that show is called Facing Fate.
Lunacore.
The whole first season's out, so it's fully bingeable. You can listen to the whole thing. It is a little spooky. Warning. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy it. Too scary.
Says a woman who is in it.
Yeah, but it's very good.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, Russ, you know, we do a lot of patting ourselves on the back every now and then, but, you know, got a hats off to Russ on this one because, oh boy, yeah, is it good.
He took our shenanigans and turned it into something,
something
serious and kind of spooky.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how I did it, but I did it. So, yeah, first season of Facing Fate. What Facing Fate is this is our new show, but it was still an actual play. We play different game systems. The first one is Fate Core, and we play a real world, quote unquote, futuristic sci-fi on the moon thriller genre that we had a lot of fun playing. Scared Carla to the point of probably no sleep some nights.
I had nightmares some nights when it left on that. Like big cliffhangers and stuff.
Sure, there were some good ones, yeah.
And we tell you this, go listen to season one, because we've got season two coming out in, it starts in September, which seems like a long way away, but it's not going to be, because for patrons over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, they're going to be starting to hear those episodes that won't be publicly released until September. This month, we're going to get our first like teaser episode, and then next month is going to be episode one, and we're going to start to roll them out because we've started recording them, and we're super excited about season two.
It's so different.
It's so different. It's going to be real fun.
So different.
We are playing the game Urban Shadows by Magpie Games for that season, and it's based in like a 90s Toronto setting, which is a city in Canada, for those who don't know, with monsters who live in the real world, kind of like a, I don't want to say a Buffy the Vampire feel, but kind of like that.
But where everyone's in on
it. But where everyone and no one at the same time are in on it. It's like a crime political thriller drama thing. Figure it out. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where we have goals that we want to reach as well. So when you join us, we're just trying to build our community that we've got. So our next goal is 45 patrons, which we're currently at 43. So that's a quick one. If a couple people hop on, then we've got that goal made.
Boom, goal reached.
And we will play a character swap episode for our patrons. Come join us. We'd love to have you. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
Come join our family.
Woo.
It's so nice over there.
But now we'll get you back to this episode. Hopefully you're enjoying all the things that are happening over there, all the crazy planning that's happening, forest walks. We'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
No, we're not flying. Wait, I don't think we said we were flying up there. She said we had the means
that's
to
just
fly
what she
up
said.
There.
I said now we have a way to fly up there because I don't think guacamole could have flown us all up at the same time.
I don't think.
Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth.
I don't think with
I thought we'd
no
camp
plan.
At the base of the mountain. Yeah.
All right.
I'm exhausted, man.
All right. You make camp at the base of the mountain.
It's only in our other game that Amy just shoots a guard without any plan.
Yes. No, Thea is much more like precious right now.
Fair enough. Okay. You make camp at the base of the mountain, kind of in the forest line.
And I'm no longer exhausted?
If you take a long rest, which is 8 hours, then
okay,
yes.
But what...
She's an elf who
I was just going to say, what if I meditate for 4?
All right, well, okay. I mean, everybody else still has to sleep too, so if you're going full long rest for everybody else...
Sure.
If you're not... Everybody else gets exhausted.
Well,
we're bringing exhaustion into this game,
okay,
baby.
Why are we
all
getting
have
exhausted?
A nap.
Oh, because we've just been up?
Because if you don't sleep.
Oh, I see.
For, yeah.
I say we all have a nap.
All right. You take proper rotation of keeping an eye on things?
Yeah, dibs first on sleeping first.
Okay. Yeah, you make it through the night with all this great planning. If you don't say you take a rotation, I throw shit at you.
Of course we take rotation. What are we, noobs?
Yeah, you wake up the next morning, all rested and refreshed. Manic says, so what is your plan?
Yes. What is our plan?
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh.
What is our plan?
Yes.
It's basically the...
We have a plan.
The not it of right? What's our plan.
Okay, here it is. I'm just...
Now, who's on first?
I'm just going to throw it out there. We go up.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
And we present ourselves as big fans of what Mr. Lich is up to.
Okay, I feel like this might not be, but you know, I'm willing to hear it out.
Big fans. You know, love his work. Seen some of it firsthand. Wondering if he needs, you know, some advisors or, you know, some like peeps to just tell him how great he is.
Okay, I'm going to throw another plan out there.
Yes, please.
And you tell me if it's as ridiculous as yours. Okay,
we're playing this game.
Yeah, so we show up and we claim that we're follow-up people from the amulet store. And we realize that we sold him the wrong amulet and we need to switch it out for the real amulet.
Yours is more ridiculous than mine, I think.
I don't feel like it is.
Okay.
Mannix speaks up and says... Funny people, you are walking into the Iron Fortress of Shangalar with multiple layers of battle with undead.
Okay, so here's what we do. We fly to the top layer.
There is no entrance except by portal.
Can you make one of those?
I know where one is, which is why we are here.
Yeah, but can you make it anywhere?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes that one.
Look, I just wanted to say that I was joking with my plan before in case anyone thought it was serious.
It's hard to tell sometimes with you funny people from another place.
Fair.
Maybe we... Try the sneaky route. We sneaky sneak in. We quietly kill whoever we have to quietly kill. I mean, it's really easy to dispose of a body if you can, like, I don't know, throw it off of a hovering...
Yeah, I mean, just throw it right off a flying pyramid.
But we quietly make our way up to the top and, you know.
This so far is the best plan. I have never...
I mean, it's not saying much, but you're right.
I have never saved the world before.
Oh, yeah, we usually do so very accidentally.
So I trust Decimators of Dragons to know the right thing to do. I feel we are unprepared, but they don't know how to get more prepared, so...
That's kind of how we start all of our adventures, very unprepared. You know, okay, there's going to be a five-headed dragon. Are we ready for this? No? Okay. Let's do this.
Okay, so we portal on up there, sneak around, kill whoever needs killing, and then kill the lich.
This is easy. Only four things.
That's four-step plan. I mean, that's a
super, super concise plan.
And somewhere in there, finding the amulet.
Yes.
Well, I assume he has it on his person.
That would be easier than if he had it somewhere else.
In his safe deposit box at the bank. Back in Kalimport.
Who's a funny person now? We're rubbing off on her. I don't know whether or not to be happy or sad. All right, so I think that is our best plan. Maybe we should... We don't know you two very well in terms of what you bring to a battle. I know what I can trust Flint to do, which is smash everything. But what would you say your strengths are?
I am not so strong, but
I beg to differ.
But I am pretty good with the magic, and I am good for healing when you are hurt.
Very helpful. Awesome. You, sir?
Mannix, how about you?
I
know you do that hover thing. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, how do you sum up being able to destroy or bring back life, walk between the ethereal?
Thea gives Flint a look.
Skip between planes.
Okay, and how but is that applicable smash. To what we can do?
But you can smash. I can.
Well, I'm not going to smash.
Don't worry.
Right now. What are you?
Don't worry. I've got it covered. Look, funny people. I've been dealing with this shit a long time.
Ooh, I broke him.
I like that he's just getting like all bets yeah. are off now.
All I'm wondering is, in the heat of battle, walking between the ethereal and the material planes is great, but is there anything specifically maybe that you can give us that would give us an edge or an advantage upon entering, sneaking, coming face to face with a lich?
Also, what's the best course of action when we are face to face with a lich?
Don't be face to face with a lich.
Oh, well, that's unhelpful.
But, like, I feel like we're going to end up there.
Yeah, if we don't end up face-to-face with the lich, we've died somewhere between level, like, bottom and mid-level.
That is the concern. Don't worry. I can bring you back.
And I can heal you before you go and have to be brought back.
Okay.
Mannix walks over to you, Thea. Ushers you to bend down.
You want me to bend the knee? No, I'm just kidding. I crouch down.
Don't be weird about it. He...
Thanks, Carolyn.
He puts his hand up, says, may I?
I don't know. It depends where your hand is up.
Near your face.
Okay. Yes, you may.
Puts his hand up near your face.
Well, you just... hand up my skirt? My what?
Puts his hand up near your face.
Okay.
And says, you have some darkness in you. And places his hand on your cheek and temple. Closes his eyes. And Yenbul and Flint, you see Thea's eyes roll back in her head.
Did he just kill her? What happened here?
Thea, you are now in a dark place. Mannix is standing beside you.
Wait, dark like there's no light or like dark I'm like, in a real dark place right now?
Dark like there's no light, but okay. You feel like dread pour down on top of you. You take a few steps and you hear splash, splash, splash.
Where are we?
You tell me.
How am I supposed to know?
In a quick flash, you see New Lara before you.
Oh, no. You're not real, you're not real, you're not real, you're not real.
Mannix snaps, and you're back.
I, like, push his hand away from my face.
I will help you fix that after we stop this.
And I just nod, obviously really shaken, and move myself away from Mannix.
The intro song, Nowhere Land, is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Christian Brown, Creighton's Raven, Devin Michaels, Gabriel Lynch, Jacob Madden, Joshua Dixon, Cat Waterflame, and Stevie. To find out more how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Before they turn, the woman speaks up and says, I am Zana, and this is Masood.
And we notice that you asked for our help, but not for our names. Can we at least, like, sing the end of it? On a magic carpet ride. And then no more.
You'll be killed by liches. Because liches give stitches to you. Tom just pulled up scissors, was like...
Oh, don't blow on me.
And then put them down. I was like...
That's all right.
It's very confusing
behavior going on.
He sure does.
Crafting projects going on over there.
What are you kidding?
Well, he's not trying to find his way out of this mess I have forced us into.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
We're the narrators of Midst.
What's Midst? It's very simple. It's a weird, surrealist, fourth wall breaking, reality bending, science fantasy space western about a small doomed planet floating in a cosmic ocean of spooky darkness.
Upon whose alien landscape an ensemble cast of characters, including a crotchety outlaw, a freakishly virtuous cultist, and a diabolical businessman, make awful decisions and fight like hell to survive when the moon falls out of the sky and a large number of terrible things happen in rapid succession.
It's exciting, it's funny, it's scary. It's got neat sound, weird music, amazing visuals, and every episode comes with bonus content. Content you can read and examine.
Midst is performed solely by yours truly, as the three of us narrate all the action, play all of the characters, and bend a lot of the rules about how telling stories is normally supposed to work.
Midst is pretty fun, very strange, and it feels like VR for your brain.
We believe you'll enjoy it, or maybe you won't, but there's really only one way to find out. You're gonna have to listen to Midst.